Let us pray. Almighty God, who art eternal and unchangeable, glorious in holiness and full of love and compassion, all thy works praise thee in all places of thy dominion, and thy glory is revealed in Jesus Christ, thy Son. As we enter thy presence, wilt thou lift us into thy light and love? For thou art the fountain of all life and light. O thou who hast given us this land for our heritage, help us to prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Save us from pride and arrogance, and fashion into one happy people the multitudes brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. O God, today we would pray for our seminary family, that thou wilt bestow upon thy servants here the gifts of thy Spirit, that all of us may be endued with power to preach thy gospel, and may prove our fitness to serve thee in the ministry of the word. Grant unto us riches of heavenly wisdom and the guidance of divine love, that we might live near to God and near to man, and in fellowship with thy Son. Strengthen our faith, confirm our courage, deepen our joy in work for thee, renewing in our hearts and on our lips the glad tidings of salvation. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we commend unto thee all within this family of thy children who are in any kind of trouble and affliction, all oppressed with sorrow, need, or sickness of body or mind, or any other adversity. Give to all of us at last our portion with those who have trusted in thee and striven in all things to do thy holy will. And unto thy name with the church on earth and the church in heaven, we ascribe all honor and glory, world without end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, we are certainly delighted to welcome to this chapel and to this service as our guest speaker, Dr. Lynn E. May, Jr., the Executive Secretary of the Historical Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. May is a native of Louisiana. He received his undergraduate degree from Louisiana College, and he holds the Doctor of Theology degree from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He came to the Historical Commission in 1956 as research director, and then became the executive secretary in 1971. We're delighted that he's on our campus for a few hours this morning, and following the anthem, he will come and guide our thought.
Oh! Thank you, Dr. Carlton. It is a real joy to be here and visit with you in Southeastern Seminary today. It's been our privilege this week and last week to meet with several of our state conventions, and we were here yesterday for the meeting of the North Carolina Convention. I shared with one of the classes a moment ago that it's sort of been my fortune to come in at the time controversial matters were introduced and then have to leave and move on before they were debated and discussed. But I'm sure they're in good hands today up in Greensboro here in your nearby state convention meeting. The Historical Commission is a service agency of our convention. We endeavor as such to maintain close touch with our seminaries, and we always count it a real privilege to visit on campuses and meet with classes with our librarians, our church history professors, and others who have kindred interests and concerns with us. For our meditation this morning, we would direct your attention first to a portion of the scriptures found in the Gospel of Matthew in the 7th chapter and verses 24 through 27. Jesus concluded his great message that we commonly know as the Sermon on the Mount with a very vivid illustration to emphasize the vital importance of both hearing and doing the word. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Jesus made it very clear that hearing his word was not enough, that one might readily hear the word, but choose to ignore it or to reject it. But Jesus was very quick to say that the foolish one who makes such a choice will certainly suffer the consequences of certain destruction. His life, Jesus said, will not be able to weather the storms that surely will be hurled against it. On the other hand, the man who responds to the word of Christ in obedient faith is likened by Jesus to one who builds his house upon a rock, upon a sure and solid foundation. Christ is indeed the rock upon which we must build our lives if our lives are to stand against the storms that will surely come. By faith, we anchor our lives to Christ, and in Him find the stability and the strength that we need. Years ago, the Youth for Christ movement adopted as its motto, "Anchored to the rock, geared to the times." This theme for Christian living emphasized the relationship of the Christian both to Christ and to the world. We are anchored to Christ, rooted in Him, building our lives upon Him by faith, securely anchored to Christ, a life that will surely stand in the storms that are to come. At the same time, our lives must be geared to meet the challenge of the times that change so rapidly about us, if our witness would be effective for our Lord. This is true not only for the individual Christian, it's likewise true for the churches and for our denomination. We must indeed be anchored to the rock, but also geared to the times. It is our belief that since the emergence of Baptists into history in the early 17th century until the present, that Baptists have indeed been anchored to Christ and yet at the same time geared to the times. We've been anchored to Christ as a people of God, for our souls find in Him our only way of salvation. Our faith and hope are established upon Christ, who is Himself the solid rock. Indeed, our churches are built upon the sure foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ Himself. Our ministry must ever be to point others to Christ, the rock, as the only one who can offer to them a sure retreat, a way of salvation and life eternal. Christ is indeed the only firm foundation upon which we can build stable and effective lives and ministry today. Though anchored to the rock across the centuries, Baptists have also been geared to the times. By this I mean Baptists have been innovators. They have been able to devise new methods and means of accomplishing their God-given task. By gearing to the times, Baptists have risen to meet the challenges confronting them in various eras of their history. In the time of the American frontier, for example, Baptists developed a new type or a special type of ministry in order to reach the people on the rapidly expanding frontier. The old established method of a pastor ministering to a congregation in a settled community no longer would work on the frontier where people were so widely scattered. Therefore, Baptists geared to the times and developed what we commonly call the farmer preacher type of ministry. The minister himself farmed for a living, as did his neighbors. But on Sundays and in off seasons, he moved about from settlement to settlement and house to house, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And through the ministry of the farmer preacher, many were won on the frontier to faith in Christ and united with the Baptist churches there that would never have been reached had it not been for this specialized type of ministry. In fact, Baptists grew more widely, perhaps, on the frontier than many other denominations because they adapted themselves to meet the needs of the frontier. Baptists were geared to the times. Another area in which Baptists certainly have demonstrated their ability to adapt their methods to meet the needs of their era is in the concern of evangelism and outreach. In the mid-18th century, Schubel Starnes and a group of Baptists migrating to North Carolina established the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. Soon, members of this church moved out away from the original settlement to the extent that it became increasingly difficult for them to return to their church and participate in its worship and ministry. As a result, the pastor, Schubel Starnes, went out to where the people lived and there ministered in their homes and very soon established a branch or an arm, as they were called in those days, or missions, as we would designate them now. These branches of the mother church grew as settlers moved into the area and converts were won, and soon separate churches were formed from these branches of the mother church. These churches, in turn, extended their witness as their members moved out beyond their locale into new settlements. And new arms and branches appeared, and soon new churches were organized. This method of evangelism and outreach was so effective that within the short span of 17 years, this one church had become the mother grandmother and great-grandmother of 42 churches which had ordained 125 ministers. Now, Baptists have utilized this pattern for growth and development from that time to this. But Baptists have also continued to adapt their methods and utilize new means to reach people for Christ in their day. While anchored to the rock, Baptists have been geared to the times in these and other areas. For example, in the area of education. In the 19th century, a growing awareness among Baptists that the masses should have opportunity for education as well as educating ministers led Baptists to meet the needs of their time. There were no public schools, no colleges for many of them. And as a result, Baptists established academies and schools and colleges to provide education for the masses. Baptists geared up to the need of their time and met them by adapting their methods to those needs. The schools that Baptists established later made a very valuable contribution to the beginning of the modern public school system. Baptists were innovators also in the area of publication. At the beginning of the 19th century, there was no religious journalism as we know it today. But Baptists sensed the need for a publication or a group of publications that would provide inspiration and information for their people concerning missions and evangelism and other benevolent causes. And as a result, they began to publish monthlies, and some later, as early as 1822, began to establish weekly newspapers sharing information with Baptists concerning their life and their work. These monthly and weekly publications played a major role in unifying Baptists and helping Baptists to grow and develop in their work for Christ. When the fires of modern missions began to burn near the close of the 18th century and beginning of the 19th century, Baptists in America had no organization beyond the local church or the association to promote the cause of missions. With the return of Luther Rice, and through the work of Rice and Richard Furman, Thomas Baldwin, and others, Baptists organized the first convention, the first national body commonly known as the Triennial Convention in 1814. Furman, W.B. Johnson, and others then organized in South Carolina in 1821 the first state convention. Others soon were organized in other states. In 1845, a new organizational entity known today as the Southern Baptist Convention came into being, as Baptists endeavored to structure their work in order to meet more effectively the needs of their times. The agencies and programs which have been developed since that time have emerged among Southern Baptists as they have geared to their times in order to meet the challenge confronting them. Southern Baptists, in these and other ways, have indeed been a people anchored firmly to Christ, anchored firmly to those good things in the traditions of their past, but geared to the times. The same can be said for the Historical Commission as an agency of the Southern Baptist Convention. We are endeavoring as an agency not only to maintain our firm foundation in Christ, and our commitment to help our convention reach people for our Lord, but also to be innovators and provide new means and methods of accomplishing much that needs to be done. We have built in Nashville, for example, a research center of Baptist materials to provide materials for the study of our history and heritage. As we have sought to gather in everything written by or about Baptists, we've run into the problem of not being able to secure original copies or duplicate copies of many of these materials. And as a result, we developed a microfilm program, which has been the means of our procuring many materials unavailable to us otherwise, In fact, the extent of our microfilm collection alone now approximates 9 million pages of Baptistiana. Through microfilm also, we've been able to help churches preserve their records against loss and destruction. One of the major concerns of our agency from its beginnings has been to make Baptists more aware and appreciative of their heritage. When there was no publication available to us to share concerns relating to our Baptist history and heritage, the Historical Commission began in 1965 a journal of history known as Baptist History and Heritage. This publication is now issued quarterly and has become a growing means of helping our people be aware of our magnificent heritage, in order that through this understanding we may not only help to solve many of the problems confronting us today, but also plan more wisely and creatively as we confront the future. The Historical Commission also is engaged now in one of the most exciting innovations in recent times, and that is in a program of oral history. As many of you are aware, few people today are preparing journals or diaries. Few today are leaving very much of a written record of their life's work, even in the form of correspondence. For so often we use the telephone and do not make a written record of transactions that take place through modern technology, the telephone. As a result, we've lost much of the record of the life and work of many who have led significantly in the work of Baptists across the years. But there is a way of recovering much of their involvement in our Baptist life by recording on tape recordings, interviews with these individuals. We're able to procure from them much of their understanding of their involvement in our Baptist life and work, their insights into the way that Baptists have developed their work across the years. And as a result, through their reminiscing for us, as we're recording on tape their recollections of the past, we're able to create a permanent record of the ministry and work of these individuals. We're also able to use this as a research tool to find out information about the life and work of our institutions and agencies, of our churches, our conventions. One of our Baptist editors, for example, who attended our recent oral history workshop, will be using oral history as a major resource for gathering information for writing a new history of Baptist work in Illinois. We're excited about the possibility that oral history offers to us as we as an agency seek to gather oral history interviews with all of our Southern Baptist Convention presidents and others who have made significant contributions to our life and work. But it's so urgent that something be done about this now before the death of many who have so much to share. And as a result, 2 months ago, the commission conducted the first convention-wide oral history workshop and involved 52 individuals from 26 states, representing not only the state conventions there, but also 12 of our Southern Baptist Convention agencies and 15 of our seminaries, colleges, and universities. And we're excited about the response already being made to develop programs of oral history in many of our states and institutions to aid us in this work of gathering from those who have themselves helped to make history much of the resources that we need for understanding the work of God among us. In these and other ways, then, we're seeking to provide for Southern Baptists the resources they need and encourage them in studying, research, and writing of their history in order that we might know and understand our past as we continue to maintain our firm hold on the rock of ages, Christ our Savior, and build upon him a life and a ministry worthy for him, that we also are geared to the times to meet the many challenges that confront us. Will you bow together with us as we pray? Our divine Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to Thee for the joy that's ours to come and to meet with these theological students and professors and those who are engaged in studies here preparing for a ministry to which Thou hast called them. We ask Thy richest blessings upon this institution, upon its administration and faculty and student body and staff members. May each one feel Thy hand upon them and work for Thee in a way that will be pleasing to Thee. And our Father, as we maintain our hold on Christ, help us ever to reach forward, seeking new and more effective ways of reaching people for Christ and winning the world who needs Him, who is the rock of ages, the way of salvation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to build firmly on our faith in Him a life that will honor Him and please Him in every way. Bless, we pray, our denomination, our Southern Baptist Convention, our state conventions, even as they're in session today. Guide and direct, we pray, in all deliberations. We pray in all programs and in every development that Christ may be honored and glorified. Bless us now, we pray, through the remaining part of the day. Lead us each and use us in Thy work and in Thy kingdom as we seek to do Thy will, for it is in Thy name that we pray and for Thy sake.